Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Hello, this is Pastor Jonathan McLean. I pray that you and your family have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving season. We certainly have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Now that the election is behind us, and we can see that God's hand is definitely with our nation, and we are believing the Lord for a great and mighty revival and awakening. Go with me now as we go to a message that was recorded September the 8th.
Romans chapter 1. Now, there are three verses that I'm going to direct your attention to that I want you to take special note of in this passage. And we are going to go to some other scriptures this morning as well. But Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start by looking at verse 24. Verse 24, Romans 1, verse 24. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You may have a different translation, so follow along. So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful things their heart desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. And it goes on. I'm not going to read on at this moment. So, verse 24, so God let them, literally, the word is go. The Lord let them go. Some translations will put in a different word. And some will use the word abandoned. It's going to be the same Greek word in all three of these verses in this passage. In verse 26, it says, that is why God abandoned them to their sinful desires. And it literally is saying that God let go of them. And so we have this the second time. Now I want you to go to verse 28. And in verse 28, it tells us that when they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. Now, these are the things that's going on in our world today. Whole list of things here. Whole list of things. Talks about deliberately believing lies. Talks about losing natural sexual attraction. It talks about life's being full of wickedness, sin, greed. Look down in verse 29. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, murder, envy, fighting, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent. Whole list of things. Whole list of things. And so, how did these individuals get turned away from God? How did they end up there? How did we as a nation that has called itself a Christian nation get to where we are today? This entire chapter of Romans chapter 1 lays out a condition for a nation that is in its last phase of existence. Because if God no longer protects a nation or protects a family or protects a person, then that person is released for demonic powers to come and attack and destroy, and we know what the plan of the enemy is. And so I've, over the last 3 weeks, this is the fourth week in a series that I have been sharing, as we've been looking at what's taking place in our nation, we've talked about the importance of life, we've spoke of the importance of Amendment 4 in the church, getting out and voting, all of us getting out and voting, so that we do not end up with an absolute open door to murder all the way up until the birth of a child. This Amendment 4 is a demonic plant. So we've been talking about this. It is a serious condition. But this passage tells us how we got here. And it's a dangerous place where we are. And so let's just move back a little bit and start with verse 18. Romans 1:18. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people. Now you have to read the whole verse. Don't just read part of the verse. These are those who reject the truth or push the truth or refuse the truth. This is a willful, full knowledge, understanding rebellion against God. Those who are pushing the truth away from themselves. In other words, when you know the truth and God is dealing with you and you understand the truth and then you choose to not accept it or not receive it, God's knocking on your heart. God's calling you. God's reaching out to you. And there is another scripture that I believe is important in Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29:1. And let's just hop over there. Psalms, Proverbs 29:1. 7:29. Here we are. Chapter 29, verse 1. Proverbs 29:1. Whoever stubbornly refuses to accept correction, in New Living says criticism, will suddenly be broken beyond repair. And this is a verse that talks about repeatedly refuses God reaching out to them, that eventually there is a condition that develops in their life that we call hard-hearted or stiff-necked or rebellious. There's an illustration of this whole passage in the Old Testament, which takes place in Exodus chapter 9 and following. And in Exodus 9, God tells Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh that he needs to let God's people go. How many of you remember what happened when he went to Pharaoh? And he tells Pharaoh, God wants his people to go out and into the wilderness and sacrifice, and you are to let God's people go. And Pharaoh is like, who is this God that can tell a Pharaoh what to do? I mean, who are you to come in here? And Pharaoh says, no. And you remember, God keeps sending him back. Go back, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And after you get through about the third time that God sends him back and he says, no, and Pharaoh's, his heart gets harder every time he says no. God says, let them go. He says no. His heart gets harder. And there are plagues that come on the land. And all kinds of things are happening. In fact, Egypt is literally being destroyed by Pharaoh refusing to let the people go. I mean, if you just let them go, then they could have, God would have just let them be there. But God knew that Pharaoh was not going to let the people go until the firstborn son of every family lost their life. Tragic story. Some read that and you see where it eventually says, after Pharaoh hardens his heart, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And some look at that and say, well, then if God is hardening his heart, then how can Pharaoh be responsible for what's happening? But if you read the full story and you look at the context and understand what's going on, the day simply came when God said, Pharaoh, if you're going to keep refusing to listen, after all of these opportunities, you keep refusing, then I am going to let you go. And when I let you go, you will just get harder and harder and harder until your firstborn all across the land will die. And not just that, eventually you will be so hard that you will chase after them. Now, Pharaoh didn't understand that even chasing after God's people was going to bring the death to all of his mighty warriors. Read the story. They all are buried in the sea because simply the Pharaoh said no to God. Now, when the leadership in a nation turns against God, and when a nation turns against God, and when leaders reject the Word of God, and when the people of a nation reject the Word of God, then a nation begins to have a callous heart. And a callous heart is no longer sensitive or responsive to what God has to say. Romans lays out this condition of a person, could be a family, a nation, or actually a generation. Now, I want you to take note of something, and I've hesitated to come to this message because I hate to give the message simply because it's a message that I believe says what we have is the result of God letting us go. I believe what we have in our nation is the result of God beginning to take His hand off our nation. I hate to say that this morning. I hate to tell you that I believe that we're not only no longer in a Christian nation, but we're in a nation that is publicly rebelling against God after we have had a strong biblical foundation. And there are characteristics that clearly lay out the results of a nation rejecting God. But it's not just our nation. It's the nations of the earth. It's a generation. This season has never been upon the earth like it is right now. We now have a condition that is global in almost every place on the earth where we are seeing the results of Romans chapter 1 spelled out. Now, this passage says that God's anger is against those who push the truth away. So this isn't someone who doesn't know, but it's someone who knows and rebels against God. For the truth about God is known to them intrinsically. God has put this knowledge in their hearts from the time the world was created. People have seen the earth, the sky, all that God made. They can clearly see His invisible qualities. In other words, everything God created is a billboard that says, I am here. That there is a God. Every sunrise, every sunset, every rose, every little finger on Leland's hand is a picture of the billboard where God is saying, come to me. I created you. I made you. I want to be in relationship with you. And so this is God's invitation, His eternal power, the divine nature. So these who push against God and push against His Word, they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. So, I mean, of all nations, America, of all nations on the earth today, America has had, I believe, as much as any nation could ever have had as far as biblical truth. We have had a very strong foundation. We've been a missionary nation. We've taken the gospel to other nations. And yet, the sin of this generation is a sin that's the result of rebellion against God. Yes, they knew God. They wouldn't worship Him as God. You know what? They just don't have time for God. Or even give Him thanks. They begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. The result was their minds became dark. This is verse 21. And they were confused. So as they rejected God, their minds became darkened. I don't know about you, but I know some people where I just cannot believe that they don't see what's happening. I mean, some people that grew up with the Word of God, grew up in the family of God, grew up maybe even with some personal interest, but they've come to a place where it's like the lights are out and you talk to them and they are clueless. They don't understand. They can't grasp the truth. And this passage is saying that's the result of rejecting God. That their minds become darkened and they no longer can understand. And result is they become confused. They claim to be wise. Instead, they become utter fools instead. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people, birds, animals, snakes. So, verse 24, we come to that first one, don't we? So God let them go. So God let them go. I don't want God to ever let me go. You might be part of our live stream today or listening to this on the radio, or you may be in this room. And if you're listening to the Word of God, I'm sharing to you this morning, I'm sharing with you the truth that you cannot always and forever rebel and reject God and get away with it. You just can't do it. A nation can't do it. A young person can't do it. A senior citizen can't do it. You just can't do it because we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And so God let them go and do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they worshiped the things God made, but not the Creator who is to be praised forever. And that is why God abandoned them. This is the second abandonment. God abandoned them, or He gave them over. Some of the translations today say gave them up. But gave them over, and some translations say to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind, it, It's the kind of mind that doesn't know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. It's just a reprobate mind is the result of resisting God to the point where you're so hard you just don't know the difference anymore. So that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. And then we come to what those shameful desires look like. Even the women. It starts with the women here. Look at this. This is talking about a lesbian lifestyle. Starts with the women, making a big emphasis that this is so extremely unnatural for women to have desire sexually for women. God created you ladies, gave you a special anointing, gave you the ability to love and to care and to share and to give birth and to raise a child, to be godly. God gave you the ability to reproduce after His kind in His image. And it was in Genesis where God said that it would be through the birth of a child that the enemy's plans would be destroyed. And of course it was through the birth of Yeshua, Messiah, who would come and He would live and He would die. But it was through motherhood that God's plan was to destroy the stronghold of sin. That is why God abandoned them to their sinful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. You want to know how we got here? We got here by rejecting God. So if it's just a person or it's a very small percentage in a nation and that's what's taking place, then you say, okay, we have sin in our nation. But when the nation becomes a Sodom and a Gomorrah, then you have to say, our nation has collectively resisted God. When 9/11 happened, at that time when those towers were hit, did any of you wonder how could that happen? In our nation, with our military and sending rockets to the moon and all of the undercover and the, you know, all of the spies in other lands and all of the knowledge we have with technology, how did our towers get hit with planes where the pilots were trained right up here in Fort Pierce at the airport, some of them? How did this happen? And that was my cry, Father, what is happening? And I remember hearing as I was praying, your nation is turning against me and my protection is being removed from your nation. And that is a heavy burden to have. Now remember, I told you don't leave early, because the message I'm giving you, I believe this with all my heart, that the United States of America, perhaps still the best place on the earth. I would not want to live anywhere else other than Israel, perhaps. But this is where God wants me to live. I love my nation. I love my nation. You know what the Apostle Paul said as he looked at Israel? He looked at Israel and he said, if it were possible, I would be willing even to give up my own eternal life if my entire nation could be saved. Moses prayed a dangerous prayer like that when the people were rebelling, and Moses said, and God said, I'm going to destroy them all and I'll start a new nation with you. And Moses, moved and broken because of the lostness of his people, wept before God and cried out to God. And he said, God, if you're going to destroy them, then destroy me as well, because I want to see my people saved. This is our heart, is it not? Our heart is to see our families saved. And yet our families are a mess. Our nation is a mess. What did people do before they had all the drugs and medications and doctors and all the stuff we have today? We're a medicated nation. We live on medications. I start the morning and I have medications I take too in the morning. We have become a nation that's drugged. We become a nation that is controlled by other factors. When COVID came, the first place most Christians went was to the doctor to find out what to do instead of seeking God. And I, personal friends, ministers, many died that did not need to die. And I'm not opposed to doctors. I'm not opposed to medical help. Luke was a doctor, but I'm opposed to going to the doctors first and seeking the wisdom of men rather than the wisdom of God. and being limited to the resources that are in the natural instead of understanding that our problem is a spiritual condition. And we are sick as a nation. Thank God there's a church and there is the body of Christ and there is the remnant that still have the lights on. There used to be some motel that said, "We'll leave the light on for you." Well, let me tell you, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has left the lights on in this dark world. And guess what? You are the light. And I am the light. So yes, this is why God abandoned them to shameful desires. When they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. Then there's a whole list of things that if you look into other passages, it says people who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So the plan of the enemy is if the enemy can just get us to be distracted to the point where we pursue our own ways and we ignore God, and then we're too busy for God, and then we're too blessed to need God, then when we have our own answers and we don't need to seek God and we don't need to read God's Word because we know it all ourselves, we become a God to ourselves. And then God says, "Okay, all right, that's what you want." But that's not all of the story. It's not all the story. I want you to turn with me to Amos. Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter 1. I want to read something to you that's going to sound like it's coming out of the paper this morning. Because Amos starts with this God report that is to be delivered to the seven nations surrounding Israel. Might be good for the nations surrounding Israel to read this report. Because sometimes we read in the Old Testament, we think, "Oh, well, all of that has to do with Israel, has really nothing to do with us." And wait a minute, you know, we're grafted in. So if it has something to do with Israel, it has something to do with us. And we need to take note. So we have in Amos, verse 3, it says, "The people of Damascus have sinned again and again." And God says, "I will not forget it." And then He begins to talk about what's going to happen to the people of Damascus. A little bit of war going on up in that neighborhood today, right? So when you look at this, "They beat down my people in Gilead as grain is threshed with the threshing sledges of iron. So I will send down fire on King Hazael's palace and the fortress. I'll break down the gates of Damascus. I'll slaughter its people all the way to the valley of Avon." See, these demonic strongholds that are in these nations keep being brought back up. Verse 6, this is what the Lord says, "The people of Gaza." Have you heard anything about Gaza recently? The people of Gaza. Here they are in the book of Amos. The demonic strongholds are still manifesting. Here they are. "The people of Gaza have sinned again and again, and God says, I will not forget it. I will not let them go unpunished any longer. They sent my people into exile, selling them as slaves in Edom. I will send down fire on the walls of Gaza, and all its fortresses will be destroyed." Now we have Israel saying, "No, we don't negotiate for land or for peace without the warriors surrendering and laying down all their weapons." Hello, they're getting it now. We can't trade land for peace. It's not Israel's, the nation, the government's land to negotiate with. And it certainly is not the United States' role to be over there splitting up the land of Israel. What a dangerous place for any nation to be in. God says, "I will slaughter the people of Ashdod and destroy the king of Ashkelon, and I will turn to attack Ekron." Verse 9 says, "The people of Tyre have sinned." Verse 11, "The people of Edom have sinned again and again." These are all the surrounding people around Israel. Look at verse 13. This is what the Lord says, "The people of Ammon have sinned again and again." Is God watching what's going on in the nations? He is aware of what's going on in the nations. So we see this in this passage where the Lord is taking note of all the surrounding nations. Then in verse 4, "The people of Judah have sinned again and again as well." Now these are God's people. And God said, "I will not forget it, and I will not let them go unpunished any longer." And how many of you know that Israel as a nation has been punished to the point of only God could keep them in existence? How many have tried to destroy them as a nation? And this is because of their sin. Part of my prayer is that the leadership in Israel will stand up and say, we are in the mess we're in as a nation because look at our history. We have rebelled repeatedly against God. We did things our way. We're calling the nation to repentance and return to God. I'm praying for that kind of an awakening in Israel. We know the day will come when Jesus is going to come and there is going to be that great awakening.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.